Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, breaking down this St. Louis Cardinals series. Chase Dolander with a really, really good start that he needed and that the Rockies needed. We've got major prospect news. I've got some fodder about the Denver Broncos, but let's jump right into this St. Louis Cardinals series. Exiting the weekend, going into St. Louis, Colorado had a negative 329 run differential, clearly largest in the majors. But when you look at the next worst differential in baseball, it was minus 143, the Washington Nationals. So that's more than double the next closest differential. That's how far they have deviated from the standard. 114 games were the fewest to reach a negative 300 run differential since before the modern era. So this is the quickest any team has got to minus 300 run differential in the modern era. So since 1901, where baseball really became what we know it to be today. The 1911 Boston Rustlers did not, I've never heard of that nickname before. Heard of the Boston Doves, yes, the Boston Bean Eaters, sure. But no, the 1911 Boston Rustlers did in 118 games. Rockies did it in 114. That ends up continuing on Monday night. Only a minus one differential as they lose late 3-2, where St. Louis goes ahead in the bottom of the eighth. But before this series, should also note, Rockies made the transaction we were all waiting to happen. Chase Dolander promoted from AAA. And in order to make room on the active roster, they had room on the 40-man roster. But the active roster, somebody had to go down. And because Austin Nola, veteran guy who does not have any more minor league options, he was required to be designated for assignment. I imagine he'll stick around in the organization. But Dolander makes the start, his 16th of the season for Colorado, his first since July 6th, back against the Chicago White Sox. And Dolander was really good. That was really great to see him. Three walks, you're not crazy about. But anytime you can go out and throw five innings of one-run ball, that's really solid for a team like Colorado that needs this kind of outing. Dolander only allowed five hits. Let's not forget, kid's only 23 years old. I know we saw him earlier in the year, but you forget, still only 23 years old. I don't think the Rockies have anybody else that young that they could promote here in the final 7-8 weeks. Wellington Herrera would be the one exception, but he's a relief pitcher. Dolander, really good, 92 pitches, 60 strikes. The biggest stat for him wouldn't be the three walks. I don't even think it's the one run. It's not the five innings. 5Ks, whatever, that's fine. The biggest number for him on Monday night was no home runs. It was only the third time this season that Chase Dolander had gone at least five innings and did not allow a single dinger. And the Rockies just needed this outing from him, from anyone, really, because Rockies pitching has been really bad in the second half. 8.49 ERA. Starters, just as bad as the relievers. 8.69 ERA by the starters, 8.25 ERA from the bullpen. They've also allowed a league-leading 259 hits and 44 home runs in the second half. And the Rockies, unfortunately, did squander the lead that Chase Dolander had for himself there. Well, he didn't have the lead. The Rockies had the lead with two runs in the seventh. They were able to put some hits together, and you had Warming Bernabell with another RBI. It was a ground out. I'm sure Jordan Beck would have loved for it to have been a sacrifice ground out. I say that because if you watch the videos at Coors Field, and you know they talk with these players back in February, Rockies Vision, about various things, right? Some of their interests, different takes on baseball. Jordan Beck said, and I don't know that I've ever heard this before, but it's interesting. It's worth thinking about. He said, you know what? The thing that I would change about baseball is you can have a sacrifice fly. You can have a sacrifice bunt, but you can't have a sacrifice ground out. And I mean, that's a great argument you could make, especially because we know there's plenty of times where guys are just trying to hit the ball to the right side of the infield, whatever it may be. And you know what? He makes a fair point. So Bernabéu does the veteran job in the seventh. Brenton Doyle follows it up with a single to score Mickey Moniak. And the Rockies have a two-run lead in the seventh. And in the bottom of the seventh, Jimmy Herget comes back strong after being on the mound for that walk-off over the weekend. He gets a scoreless inning of work. Nick Anderson, another scoreless inning of work for him. But unfortunately, in the bottom of the eighth, that all gets washed away when Juan Mejia steps on the mound and ends up coughing up two runs. Got the first quick out. Mejia comes on, gets the first batter, Mason Wynn, to strike out. Then he walks Nolan Gorman, gives up a single to Thomas Segesi, runners on first and second. You saw Garrett Hampson come into the game. You also saw Ollie Marmol mixing and matching, going with Brendan Donovan to replace Pedro Páez, and Donovan pinch hit double down the right field line to score both runners, including Hampson, all the way from first base. So again, just pushing the right buttons, and a manager, a team, an organization like the Cardinals are going to push those right buttons. And unfortunately, Colorado cannot do anything in the ninth, and the game gets closed out in his third inning of work. He pitched two and a third innings, but Kyle Leahy with his third win of the year. Leahy, you might remember him from last month. He's an Erie High School grad, also went to Colorado Mesa University. In fact, when he pitched on that Sunday game for the Cardinals, his grandmother had passed away that night or the morning of, and ended up pitching. And, you know, he'd gone to a lot of games at Coors Field as a young man. So good for Kyle Leahy there. Not so good for the Rockies. Not so good with the rain delay, pushing back the start of Tuesday's game 40 minutes. But again, tip of the cap to Chase Dolander for not allowing that home run, because that was, besides it just being great for him, it was huge for the team, because believe it or not, the Rockies had surrendered a home run in 15 straight games going back to July 15th. It was one shy of tying the franchise record for most consecutive games allowing at least one homer. That record was set back in 2021, July 16th through through August 3rd. So those hot summer months, the balls will carry. Dolander does his part to make the streak end. The three relievers do their job, and unfortunately Mejia coughs up that lead, takes the L. And piggybacking on one of the two top arms that Colorado drafted in 2023. Number one, of course, Chase Dolander. Number two was Sean Sullivan, the lefty named AA Eastern League Pitcher of the Week for last week, through 7 2/3 scoreless frames in his August 6 starts. Two hits, one walk, six strikeouts against the Pirates' Altoona curve. And since July 1st, Sean Sullivan 4-1 with a 1.46 ERA, only six walks, 40 strikeouts. You love the strikeout to walk ratio there. 37 innings pitched, only six earned runs. Look, Colorado is monitoring him this season after he had off-season hip surgery. And despite the fact that I think he does deserve an opportunity, I think they might be hesitant to start his clock just a little bit, because he's not going to be added to the 40-man roster this offseason. Doesn't need to be. Let me phrase it that way. Doesn't need to be because of when he was drafted. He needs to be added before next winter of 2026. So that doesn't mean he might not be on the opening day roster, but if you put him on that 40-man for him to debut this season, that is one less spot that you have this offseason for some younger prospects. So I still don't think it's an impossibility, but the Rockies have been trying to pump their brakes on Sullivan given that offseason hip surgery that he had. In other big news for the Colorado Rockies, Ethan Holliday and a slew of prospects, but who are we kidding? Ethan Holliday is going to make his affiliated debut. He did on Tuesday night, batting second, playing shortstop for the Low A California League Fresno Grizzlies. He was in the lineup, as was first baseman Tanner Thatch from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. There were a couple players that were making their affiliated debut. I'm going to talk a lot more about those prospects tomorrow, but that was kind of a big news day. That was kind of a big piece of information there for Colorado to say, oh yeah, by the way, you know, we're going to have Ethan Holliday going out to Fresno. You know, when I spoke to him along with other folks in the Denver media, but I asked him point blank about trying to start his pro career and getting out to affiliated ball. And that was, you know, at the top of his list. He really wanted to make sure that happened. Didn't want to wait until next April. So he's getting his wish along with Tanner Thatch. And then up at High A, Spokane, Matt Bellew from the University of Texas, the outfielder, and USC third baseman Ethan Hedges making their affiliated debut for the Rockies on Tuesday night. Exciting stuff for Colorado. It's sad to say that maybe some of the most exciting things going down for the Rockies are taking place in some smaller cities around the U.S. and their affiliates, but you know, that is true. And that's not to say that there still aren't those great stories with Tyler Freeman continuing to get on base and showing that he can be an everyday player. Mickey Moniak continuing to make the most of his starts. Ezekiel Tovar getting himself back on track. Hunter Goodman and his potential chase at Willian Rosario's 28 home runs, most ever in a single season for a primary catcher. There are those other stories, but I think maybe because there's so many disappointing stories in and around the Rockies, it sort of tamps down your excitement for some of those individual players. If you're just focusing on those individual players, that's great. Yeah, again, there's plenty to be excited about, but look, there's some dirt on the dirt sheet. And again, tomorrow I will talk about some of these prospects that were drafted. Where are they on the Rockies top 30 list, the new MLB pipeline top 30 list? And the thing you're going to notice is a lot of the players that just got drafted are bumping out players in High A, in Double A, and in Triple A, simply because their ceiling is still unknown. So you like that. You like that there's still that potential. But the floor, we still don't know their floor. We haven't seen them fail just yet. And unfortunately for so many of the Rockies prospects, over the last 5+ years, we've seen them fail. So they're losing some of that luster. They're losing some of that value.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
But Ethan Holliday in action. Great to see that. Over on social media, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Rockies Insider, you can see a couple of those clips. If you're not already following the Fresno Grizzlies, and I know Blake Schupaner is going to be all over that too. You guys are maniacs when it comes to the minor league coverage. Nobody does it better than Blake Street Banner. All right, Broncos are back. First preseason game was on Saturday when the Bananas were in town on ESPN. I doubt, you know, how many people were watching the Bananas and or the Rockies? Not very many. You're watching the Broncos. That's all right. They got behind 9-0 to the 49ers, but ended up scoring 30 unanswered points and winning 30-9, which means they are only one win behind the Rockies in terms of wins this month. That's it. And they played just one game. It got me thinking, this is that time of year where you look at the schedule and you say, okay, is it possible to do the Coors Field couplet, the Mile High and Coors Field Denver double dip, attending both a Broncos game and a Rockies game on the same day? Now, it's really just August and September in which both teams are going to be playing at the same time, just their regular season. And sure, I think there's a lot more opportunities once you get to the NHL season with the Avs and Broncos and with the Nuggets and Broncos. Zero possibility you can do Nuggets and Avalanche. Although, didn't they play on the same day once recently? They might have. Let me know, because it just feels like an impossibility. Maybe there was an NBA game and then a concert that night. Oof, that's rough. But you can usually have some fun with the Broncos schedule and maybe take in another game. I know in the last couple of years, there have been a couple opportunities where the Rockies play early, the Broncos play late. This year, not the case, but there are two overlapping days, which may make you want to stay away, or if you're going to one or the other, you know there's going to be some traffic in the area. So we got one coming up, in fact, this weekend, August 16th. Is that the Sunday or Saturday? I think it might be Saturday. It is. That's Saturday. And here's how about this for crazy? You've got Arizona versus Denver and Arizona versus Colorado. That's right. Both the Cardinals are taking on the Broncos and the Diamondbacks are taking on the Rockies. Wild. Broncos game is at 7:30. Rockies at 6:10. Are you tailgating at the Rockies? Like, you're watching a couple innings before you maybe scooter over. That's really the only way I think you can get over there with the traffic. You're just going to have to take a scooter. But really, what are the odds that you have both, you have two teams from the same city traveling to your city? That's wild. And then the only other opportunity you got, again, there is that overlap. September 7th, Padres at Coors Field at 1:10 against the Rockies. And then week one of the NFL regular season, the Colts against the Broncos at 2:05. And that's it. That's the only overlap. I think the Rockies have a game, or rather the Broncos, every time the Broncos play, the Rockies are playing, but it's just not going to be on the same day and it's not going to be at home. Just not. Last little bit, Jason Stark is fantastic over in The Athletic. And he's a man after my own heart. I try to do my best to mimic him with all kinds of crazy statistics and inventing who knows what. He loves doing it. Nobody better than him. And so he had a lot on both the Pirates series from the Pirates perspective and the Blue Jays series from the Blue Jays perspective. But again, it all tied in with the Colorado Rockies. And, you know, he reached out to the folks at Stats and found out that there's been over 54,000 series. So not games, but series, three game sets, three or more series since 1901, the modern era. We're talking American League, we're talking National League, we're talking Federal League for a very brief 2-year period. But he said, how many have been like the Blue Jays and Rockies from over a week ago? Zero. Absolutely zero. And I had never heard this line before. It's incredible. I've never heard this. You might have that over me if you have heard this line from Vince Scully, who once said, quote, "You don't need an official score at Coors Field. You need a certified public accountant." Incredible. But of the 30 MLB teams, 17 had not gotten 21 hits in any game this season. And the Blue Jays averaged 21 hits in the three-game set, the last homestand for the Rockies. Of the 30 MLB teams, 12 had not scored 15 runs in any game this season. And the Blue Jays averaged 15 runs in that series. The Jays' run differential was plus 39. So, yeah, the Rockies were at negative 69. 16 teams, negative 39, excuse me. 16 teams in baseball have not won a game by 13 runs or more this season. And the Jays won all three games in one series by an average of 13 runs. Stark also goes on to call the Rockies the Rockettes. Ouch. But the Blue Jays outhit the Rockies 63-20 and out-homered them 13-1, had a slight advantage in extra base hits, by which he means 32-4. Bad stuff. Not good for the Denver Nine as they continue in this St. Louis series. Good to see Hunter Goodman get that 23rd home run of the season, very much in reach Not only is Goodman within closing distance of passing Willian Rosario, you have to get 29 to beat him for most home runs by a primary catcher in Rockies history. But if he goes out and hits 30 home runs, he'd be the first Rocky to do that since, yeah, Nolan Arenado in 2019. The Rockies have not had a 30 home run hitter. 30 just feels like 20 home runs. Well, maybe not during the steroid era, but 30 home runs is just like, hey, that's great. You had a good season at the plate, but you're just at 30. You don't have anyone that's hit 30 home runs during that 2020 season. You know, I think Trevor Story was on a 30 homer pace. It was only 60 games. He was doing well. And you didn't have a full season of Arenado. You had no season of Arenado in 2021. Story banged up just a little bit. CJ Cron got close twice. He had 28 in 2021. And then in 2022 had 29. At least that year, he sort of reset the deck on 100 RBI seasons, because before that, again, it was Arenado in 2019. 30 homers, 30 plus homers, and 100 RBI. We're still waiting on 30 homers, but at least Cron reset the deck just a little bit with his 100 too. It's crazy to think how much CJ Cron slugged and how we just have not seen anybody really come close to that. I mean, Ezekiel Tovar has slugged from the double standpoint, and you know, it's kind of underrated, I think, in a way. Like if you're just looking at extra base hits, he certainly was on par, but a dude that really struck fear in the heart of opposing pitchers, and a dude who could really get a hold of one, and someone who you wanted to go and watch take batting practice. It's still just CJ Cron right now, but you know, there's some dudes in the system right now that maybe, just maybe, in a couple years' time, you know, you will see them hitting some light tower homers, some moonshots. For right now, it's just Hunter Goodman, but hey, he can maybe reach that 30 homer plateau. Good to see that from him on Tuesday night. @PatrickDLyons, @PatrickDLyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, leave a comment. It's always appreciated. I'll be back tomorrow, as I am always. And hopefully you will be back as well, because I got to tell you, I do appreciate you dropping by, giving me that momentum. But again, as I've always liked to say, that momentum, it's only as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.